After 35 years as a book editor in New York City, Ann Patty stopped working and moved to the country. Bored, aimless, and lost in the woods, she decided to challenge her restless, word-loving brain to re-engage with life by beginning a serious study of Latin. In her new book, Living with a Dead Language, My Romance with Latin, Patty writes a loving tribute to a dead language that really isn't so dead after all, and an inspiring memoir about finding renewed purpose through learning something new and thought-provoking. She'll be talking about the book tonight at the Red Hook Public Library and on Sunday at the Golden Notebook, and it is a great pleasure to welcome Ann Patty to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. What a delight to have you here.
Thank you, too.
At what point did you decide that you wanted to, I talked a little bit about it in the introduction, but to say, I want to formally study this language?
Well, what happened is I didn't really have to work anymore. I did a lot of freelance work. I had to do something. I did not know what to do with myself. I was bored. I was aimless. I was terrified. I had to start a new life. And I needed to do something that might engage me the way my work used to engage me. I already spoke French. I'd taken it for 12 years. And so I kept thinking, what did you miss in life? What did you miss? And being a person I consider a card-carrying member of the grammar police, ask my friends, I drive them crazy by correcting their speech, I thought, well, the one thing I have missed in life, given my interests and my obsessions, is knowing Latin. I never learned Latin, and I knew it was hard. And I thought, okay, that's what I want to do. And it kind of came to me. And it took me a couple years to actually find a way to begin it. But once it came to me, I thought, that's what I'm supposed to do.
Do you think it's something like chicken pox in the sense of that it's easier when you have it when you're young? I learned Latin when I was in 9th, 10th, 11th grade. Does it come easier, do you think, when you learn it at a younger age?
I believe... yes, probably, because the brain is more malleable. I'm not sure my classmates, who are mostly in their 20s or late teens, had too much of an easier time learning the declensions, the conjugations, the parts of speech. They certainly had an easier time memorizing the vocabulary. We all know that it gets harder to memorize when you're older. And so, you know... in college, I'd always been an A student. I'm a B student, and I'm a B student in Latin, doing a level of homework I never did before in my life.
Was it a conscious decision to go the formal route, meaning I am going to go and take a class, audit a class, and learn this, as opposed to I'm going to read all about it and try to do it by myself?
No, part of what I wanted to do is have a reason to get out of my pajamas every morning. And I wanted to be around people because, you know, in my job, I was around a lot of people, young people, old people, middle-aged people. Suddenly, here I am living with a husband my age, an ancient dog, never seeing anyone under 50. I wanted to have a community again. I wanted to be around people. I wanted to get out of this house. So auditing... and, you know, I'm going into year 6 now. And I'm not done. I have a feeling I'll be doing this the rest of my life. I know.
So as of right now, what do you feel you still have to learn about the language?
A lot of it's practice, 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 practice. I took 12 years of French, and I've been to France many times. I got to a point, you know, soon after that 12 years ended when I came out of college, where I really could carry on conversations in French, I could read books in French. Latin is that much harder. I think I know the basics of the syntax, I know the basics of the grammar, I know how sentences are formed, I know the oddities, but I haven't completely grokked the language yet. I may never. One of the things I've started doing now to help myself is going to weekends, and I'm actually crazy enough to go to a week-long one this summer where you actually go and live in community with 35 other people and you speak nothing but Latin 24/7.
Which is difficult considering it is not a conversational language.
Well, it obviously was at one time.
Sure.
You know, it's not a language we learn through conversation, but there is a growing movement now called Living Latinists, which are trying to bring Latin back as a conversational Latin, because all the research shows that unless you also hear it and speak it and write in it, you're never really going to learn the language. So a lot of the Living Latinists are trying to make it a conversational language. It's shocking, shocking. You know, Latin has words for beer, for cocktails, for high heels. It's amazing how many words you don't have to make up. You do have to make up quite a few, but not all of them.
I was first exposed to Latin by reading Winnie the Pooh in Latin.
How old were you?
I was maybe 12.
That couldn't have been easy.
It was not. But it was something that my mother found to be very important, not only because I love Winnie the Pooh, but also that she thought it would be a good way for me to be introduced to Latin.
Mm-hmm.
Winnie il Pooh. So, but one of the things that I think about as you talk about conversational Latin, that I feel since learning it in high school and college that I while not practicing it currently, that I still lost a lot of that information that I had. To your point that you really have to use it to
use it or lose it.
To
like
not
everything.
Lose it. Right.
Yeah.
And which may be less so with French, or do you feel you've lost that too?
No, I don't feel I've lost my French. Because, you know, I can throw little French phrases, you know, I'm kind of pretentious. I can throw a little French phrase in here or there. Not so good doing that in Latin. And I go to France. And I know people, you know, and when I'm with a French person or someone who speaks French, sometimes we'll speak French. And because I took it for 12 years, my guess is I'm halfway there. My feeling is if I take Latin for 12 years, I might really have it. Or I might not. I mean, I started as I was approaching 60, so, you know.
Who knows?
Maybe I'll never get demented. I don't know.
One of the fascinating things about the book is that you not only learn Latin through this process, but you also learn quite a great deal about Roman history.
I do. You don't learn one without the other.
And does that help incorporate the language into your being, knowing what happened and why it happened?
I don't think it helps me with the language, I'm sorry to say. I wish I could say it did. It helps me want to persevere with the language because I've come to find ancient Rome so interesting, and even medieval, you know, post-classical Rome, that I like to keep engaging in that study. And one does that through the language. I don't think it helps me learn the language. No, I don't think it does. I wish I could say it did. But it certainly makes the language richer. I wish when I took French, I had learned a lot more about French history.
So that idea of you can't learn one without the other, one would then assume that there is a necessity to properly understand the history, you need to know the language. To properly know the language, you need to know the history.
I would say the latter is true. I'm not sure about the former. Part of what it is because we're only left with the literature. And like the literature, obviously histories, memoirs, poetry, epic, is very involved in what's going on during that period of time. So if you read Horace, you're going to find some stuff about Augustus. If it's embedded in the literature. So in other words, our culture, I'm sure, to a Martian, they would find embedded in our literature all sorts of things they didn't know about our culture. And that is true in the Latin, literature.
Does that make sense? It does make sense. The book is very much a memoir, and you were telling us about how this has a profound impact, this experience had a profound impact on your life. You spent years as a publisher and as an executive editor for some of the top publishing houses in New York. Do you look at it now and think that you would have been a different editor, different in your job and in its relationship to literature, having known the language the way you do now?
I would say I'm not sure, because I always tried to be very, especially as I grew up in the business. I mean, I started as a trash maven and I ended up as a serious person. And I was very attentive to word usage, syntax, and all those things. The one thing I will say I've learned is I would have phoned my authors a lot more often to see how they were doing. Especially near publication. Hi, are you freaking out or not? No, I don't think it would have changed the way I edited, actually. I think it gives me an even greater respect than what I already had for writers, because I believe it's, except for having to deal with corporations and all those machinations in the corporations, being a writer is a lot harder than being an editor. It's lonelier. It's even more obsessive. And, you know, you're putting yourself out there in a different way. You're not putting, I used to put my taste out there. This is my taste. It's now me. Very different.
Mm.
Writers are brave. You have to be brave.
You also talk in the book about the difference, and we touched on this before, about the differences between learning a new language versus learning a new language for fun, for pleasure, as opposed
right.
to learning it because you have to or to get the credit or whatever the case may
right.
be.
Right, right.
And it became for you great pleasure and from reading the book, really nothing but pleasure for you.
The only thing that wasn't pleasure was how I didn't live up to my own expectations in terms of getting it, in mm-hmm. terms of doing as well on tests as I thought I should do. So there was me starting to feel, you know, I was used to being one of the smart kids in the room, and suddenly I wasn't. So that was not a pleasure, but I think that's a really good lesson to learn, that actually no one's smart in every way. We all have our areas of slowness and stupidity. So the only not pleasure was just how hard it was.
But never to the point of intimidation to turn around and say, okay, I'm done.
No, no. Even now, no, I'm not done. It's, you know, it brought my mother back to me. I rediscovered my mother through writing this book, you know, who I had no relationship with and who's been dead almost 30 years, and she came in. So that was wonderful to re-find her.
And that was surprising, obviously.
Well, she'd always wanted me to take Latin, and she always prided herself on knowing Latin. But I was so determined not to become my mother that I didn't listen to her. So when I started taking the Latin, I started thinking, gosh, we really aren't that different. Because I bet she loved this for the same reason I do.
And does it bring to mind lost conversations? Conversations that could have taken
please.
Place? Yeah.
Yeah, I wish I'd listened to her earlier. We could have had a really good time sharing this.
So you've written a book about it. But you say there's so much more to learn. What more do you want to learn, and what is next in this process?
Well, what more is to learn is to just keep getting... I haven't had enough Ovid. I haven't had enough Virgil. I haven't had Tacitus. There are many more writers that I haven't studied. And when you study even in a semester, you're basically at the tip of the iceberg. So there's many more writers I want to study, and my new desire, I want to become both the girl Latin reporter about things Latin happening in the world, and I really want to become a Latin teacher. And in fact, I am teaching now. I give a class at my library for free for kids, and I feel I've been given a free education, and I want to pass it back and grow some more pedants.
Well,
so that's my plan. Keep learning, keep teaching.
The name of the book is Living with a Dead Language, My Romance with Latin. Ann Patty will be at the Red Hook Public Library tonight at 6 o'clock. And she'll be at the Golden Notebook Bookstore in Woodstock, New York on Sunday the 19th at 3 o'clock. Ann Patty, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you so much for being with us. Best of luck with the book.
Thank you very much, and lovely to meet you at last.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the name of the book is Living with a Dead Language, My Romance with Latin. It is published by Viking. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.